Ready.
Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendship, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating victory since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Dagg.
And we're best friends.
I feel like you forgot again.
I didn't. I was flawless. I forgot nothing.
Okay.
How are you, dear?
I am. If you can see my office, like this side of my desk is littered with like a teapot and a teacup, my coffee cup, another glass of water, a plate, because everything comes in here while I'm working. So I'm feeling very cluttered right now. That's how I am feeling.
Do I have to come down and tidy again?
Oh my God, you guys, Kristen is so good at that. She should hire herself out.
Yeah. I actually helped Dr. Khaleesi on a project last week that required organization. And it was a very boring project, I'm not going to lie. It was very easy and very boring. And I said, I can see why you didn't want to do it, because it's boring.
Yeah.
And you tricked me into coming here. Well done, Dr. Khaleesi, using that education and therapy brain.
Right.
She did a really good job. But yes, you know, the holidays are coming, and I am so excited for Christmas this year, mostly for the lights and the decorations.
Yeah.
You know, I was driving around another town last night. I had to run an errand, and the lights on the main street were so pretty and so festive, and they just really lifted my spirits. I thought, like, oh, this is going to be a crummy Christmas, because we won't be able to have as many people visiting and all that stuff. But seeing the Christmas lights just really brought a spark of joy to my heart.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I, as you know, don't care. I don't care if there are lights, if there's a wreath. My mom gives me a lot of grief because I don't like gussy up the house at all. I have a red door. I could put something green on it.
You know, I think, your house is quite snug and adorable. And, you know, one thing, a little plug-in tree, the hideous tree I gave you a few years ago, something like that. I think like less is definitely a style.
Yes.
You know, my friend had a tree up the other day, and she said it was just lights, and she really liked it that way. And yeah. I said, you know, you don't have to put all the baubles on it. You could just have the lighted tree, and you don't have to take out every decoration you ever owned. You could have a pared down Pottery Barn kind of Christmas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a William Sonoma kind of Christmas.
Catalog isn't out yet. I'm dying for that. But, there's a spoof catalog of William Sonoma. If you find people don't know about it, look for it. The descriptions are magical. They're just magical. Fabulous. And hilarious.
Yes.
But this week we have a very sweet and poignant letter. And then we have kind of a general advice about friends and the pandemic and the holidays. So why don't you read the letter, James?
Okay. Dear ladies, I have been friends with a woman for 60 years now. Lucy, not her real name.
Her real name.
Was married to my husband's best friend. Our kids called each other cousins, and we never had a crossword between us, ever. We only saw each other once or twice a year, but occasionally we'd vacation together or just us two couples. I have absolutely nothing but affection and respect for her. My husband died 25 years ago, and Lucy's husband was a real rock, checking in on the kids and me and being a great guy. I didn't see them as a couple as much after that, but I'd get a phone call here and there. Then Lucy's husband died, and tragically, a few years later, her only child also died suddenly. It was devastating. Of course, I went to the funeral and wake and dropped her notes and called her. She was brokenhearted, but she's also incredibly strong and had her grandchildren to comfort her. But now, years later, Lucy just won't return my calls. She doesn't send notes anymore. In our last conversation about a year ago, she invited me to come visit her in her new condo, and I said I would love to. She never followed up with a date. If I call her, I only get the answering machine. If I write her a note, she doesn't write back. Looking back, I can see that I was always the one who first reached out, but I've never had silence before. And now that we don't have anyone else in common, we didn't run in the same circles, I have no one to call to ask if she's okay. It's possible that she has dementia or something else, but I can't help feeling dropped or ghosted, as you say. It's lonely during this pandemic, and I'd be so happy to hear from her. I worry about her after going through such a tragedy, and I'm more than willing to accept it if she doesn't have time for me. But I'd like to know one way or the other. Do you have any advice for me? Signed, old friend. Wow.
That's a heartbreaker.
It is. It's a really tough one. I wonder, can you go over there? Are you close? Do you live close?
I mean, that's an immediate answer.
Yeah.
To, you know, pop in.
Yeah.
Again, with COVID, maybe that's not the best thing, but if you knew her address, mm-hmm. you could drive over and look for her car or knock on her door and say, you know, I just haven't heard from you in so long. And I was in the area, mm-hmm. white lie. And I just had the sudden thought that maybe I'd drop by to see you.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea, Joss.
Thanks.
But what I think is going on is either you are correct, old friend, and maybe she does have dementia or a health issue that is preventing her from calling you. You don't say how old she is, but if dementia is on the table, I'm guessing, you know, 70s or 80s,
yeah.
And you've been friends for 60 years. but, you know, when somebody loses a child, there's no predicting how they're going to act. It's the worst thing that can happen to a human is to lose your child. And she was widowed, and then a few years later her only child died, and maybe she just doesn't have room in her broken heart for an old friend, no matter how good you guys have always been to each other, because it sounds like a lovely relationship.
Yeah.
It might just be that she can, you know, she's barely holding it together. Mm-hmm. And seeing her grandchildren maybe is the only thing she can do. Or maybe you're a reminder of too many happy times in the past.
Yes. That's what I was thinking.
You know?
Vacationed as couples. It just might be hard to see you
because
it reminds her of those good times.
Right. And the kids growing up together, and your kids are still alive, I'm assuming. And you know, I make a lot of space for people in my life who've lost a child, in that I kind of think you can't hold them to the same standards. Because that is a wound that will never heal. It's not like a parent or a spouse or a sibling. It's the most unnatural thing to outlive your child.
Yeah.
And, you know, as parents, we are like biologically programmed to protect and provide for our kids. So when that fails and you lose a child, whatever the circumstances, it's such a primal devastation.
Yeah.
So it might be, and I hate to say this, old friend, it might be that the friendship is over.
I was thinking that too, but then as you were speaking, Kristen, I wonder if old friend could somehow do a wellness check, just to make sure that this person who could possibly have dementia or is possibly suffering from major depression over her loss, has support, you know, has grandkids or someone to support her, and then kind of back away, right?
Yeah. I would also, you know, if you know the grandkids and they're old enough, maybe you could say, hey, I'm worried about Lucy. I just want to make sure you have my phone number in case she needs anything, in case she gets sick. I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm part of the support system. Just, you know, please make sure that I know. Because I, that line where she says, I have no one to call to ask if she's okay, that's scary.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it might be that, you know, she is the keeper of the phone numbers, right? So maybe the grandkids wouldn't know to call you, or the in-law or the surviving spouse. So I think that it's absolutely okay to put that out there and say, you know, I love her. We've been friends for so long. I would absolutely, you know, want to be helpful or to know if something happened. So here's my number, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
But I do like the idea of dropping by. And I don't, if that's possible, I don't think there's anything wrong with that based on you have such a history together. You know, it's not, I don't think it's imposing or stepping over a line. I think it's just, you know, hey, I left you three messages and I haven't heard from you. I was worried about you.
Yeah.
You know, and if she says, you know, this isn't a good time, then you'll know, like, okay, mm-hmm. you know. But we always say on this show, like, there are friends for a reason and friends for a season. Yeah. And, I wonder if she's just kind of used up all that she has, you know.
That could very well be it.
You know, and making room for a friend, even a friend who loves you and doesn't ask for much, is just kind of exhausting.
Right, particularly at this time of year when you're also together. Yeah.
So a drive-by, reaching out to one of the grandkids, you know, Facebook will find just about anyone for you. And good luck. That's a real sad story. And I hope that you reconnect. I hope it's just like she had a rough year, but she would love to see you again.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree.
Which is absolutely possible. Right.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
We were all having rough years this year. And you know, what's funny? I find that, you know, while I'm yearning to return to normal and see my friends, things like Zoom and that kind of thing, they're not the same, you know?
It's really not the same. I miss like saying, let's go out to dinner with guys and heading off somewhere fabulous and having a little meal.
I know. I have one friend who lives in the Midwest, and we have seen each other virtually more this year than we have ever in our friendship. It was always like a once a year dinner kind of thing. And it's really nice to see her and to be able to have these long face-to-face talks that we have never had before. But like with someone like you, Joss, where we're used to doing things together, it's been really tough. And we have our mutual friend, Mara, who we always do things in person with her. And I just we're trying to set up a phone call so we can talk for 3 or 4 hours. But I was like, but I just want to see her. I want to have her in my house, or I want to be in her house, you know, and those things are difficult. So it might be that your old friend Lucy is just thinking, I'm just going to wait it out.
Yeah, that too. That is also true.
We have lunch again, you know.
Yeah, that is also true.
But good luck, and I hope it turns out well. Joss, this brings us to a list that I have written for us, for our listeners, for everyone. And it's, I was thinking about this year and the inability to have Christmas parties and all those things that we love. So I wrote a list, being a good friend during the pandemic holiday season. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that this is the only year we will ever need this list.
Me too.
But I have in my classic Kristen fashion, I have 10 neatly outlined tips for being a good friend.
Very nice.
The first one is use technology. You know, and I'm not just saying Zoom. Send funny memes, uplifting articles, points of interest, you know, craft ideas to your friends, just so you can let them know that you're thinking of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can Zoom. You don't have to make a night, an hour and a half of Zoom, but just say like, hey, I'm wrapping presents tonight. Do you want to Zoom?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm baking cookies, you know. You want to watch me cook and you can bake cookies and we can just chat while we're baking cookies.
Yeah, that's a lovely idea.
You know, and that way it can feel a little bit more intimate maybe than just staring at the computer at your kitchen counter, you know.
Yes. The second thing on your fabulous and very neat list is be thoughtful about gifts if you exchange them. What does your friend need that you can provide? It doesn't have to be an item. It could be a service. For example, maybe you offer to rake her yard, or in Kristen's case, do some organizing and cleaning. maybe you give her a gift certificate for a few months down the road when it will be safe to get a manicure or massage. I would err on the side of less is more with material items, unless you know your friend has the space needs the item, or you're 100% positive it would brighten her day.
Yeah, you know, to that point, gift giving is always hard, right? I have a funny story of my aunt was given a plant for her birthday, and she has a tiny apartment and she's terrible with plants. So it was just a matter of time before the plant would be dead, and she felt bad, and she was trying to give it away. And I said, I'll take it. I love plants. I have room for them. I have a green thumb with houseplants. And so she was really happy to regift it. But the person who had given her the plant just didn't really think, like, is Teresa the person I should be giving plants to? You know, does she have any houseplants? No. Does she ever garden? No. So in a tiny apartment or house, especially this year when we've been home so much, probably the last thing we need is another thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
I absolutely do. As a matter of fact, I also got the gift of plants recently. I think I told you the other day. I took my lunch hour during work to plant the mini bonsai trees that I got, which will surely die. I have never been able to keep a plant alive.
I know. And this, I mean, bonsai, that's a 50-year commitment, Joss. I mean,
from seeds. Listen, I'm committed to trying to grow them, but I do not have a good track record. I've killed cactus. I've killed bamboo. The dog is, I'm surprised she's alive, honest to God. I'm not good that way, but, yeah, you know, I'm going to do my best, but I fully expect these plants to die. Perhaps not the best present for me.
Right. So,
as possible. What I do during these times is, especially when I don't know what to give, is I send notes in the mail, 'cause it's always fun to get mail.
It is.
Actual mail, real mail.
Yeah. A letter saying, you know, I'm thinking of you, and this is what I was doing today. And yeah, there's something really special about an old fashioned letter.
It is. I have a lot of cards. Wherever I go, I tend to pick up a card just to have on hand. And I have a set of cards that say, this is not a text on the front, mm-hmm. and I have a blank inside, which is perfect.
Yeah.
You want to do something a little more personal than a text. Mm-hmm. So, and it's easy, it's inexpensive, and it'll make someone smile for sure.
It absolutely will. Great idea. Number three is drop off something yummy or mail it if you can. A bottle of wine, something homemade. It doesn't have to be cookies, you know, Christmas cookies. A lot of people are really sick of their own cooking right now. So maybe you just drop by with a meal that they didn't have to cook themselves in this year of everyone just cooking, you know, their recipes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that that's a great present of, hey, I made a dinner and I'd like to bring it to your house sometime, or I will make you dinner for your Christmas present this year. And you bring over a little Creuset crock pot and you put it on the front porch. And what a lovely, time-saving, thoughtful present that is.
Someone cooking for you always tastes better than your own cooking. I don't know why that is.
That's true.
People who make me a sandwich, it always tastes better than any sandwich I could make myself.
Or salad.
Or salad. What is that about?
Salad. I mean, same things, but it always tastes better at Jen's house than at
mine. Yeah, exactly. Number four says, read the same book and have a one-on-one book club via phone or computer. It's good for the brain, and we have some great recommendations starting with our own book, naturally.
Yes, our own.
Be Friends, the Ultimate Guide to Female Friendship. Yes. I mean, I love that idea because it gives you something else to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, and it is good for your brain. And our book is short and fun to read if you do choose that one. We are doing book club appearances via Zoom.
We are.
We are starting on Monday, and we have a couple more requests. I think it's just a great way to talk about something off topic, off pandemic, off politics, off, you know, I broke my wrist and my hand still hurts kind of thing.
Yeah. Does it really? Oh, no.
Number five is try to be uplifting and funny. So the other night, my friend called me just to share some horror stories of online dating. And we laughed until we were crying. I was on the couch just wheezing with laughter. And then I shared with her the story of me going to the curbside tag sale of a possible serial killer.
I enjoyed that story very much.
Yes. Actually, my husband told the story to Joss because he wanted to pitch it with all its accuracy. But like, save up those little nuggets, because how delightful for your friend to call with a funny story about something, you know, random or unexpected. You know, it's so good to laugh together, and we all need that this year.
Yeah. Number six says, take a walk together. We all need fresh air and exercise. No one ever regrets taking a walk. Get out of the neighborhood if you can. Drive somewhere new and stroll around. A change of scenery is good for soul. It truly is.
That is, isn't it?
Fewer words have never been spoken. That is true.
And you know what I love, Joss, is now that it gets dark so early, I love to go to a place with sidewalks because I'm in a rural neighborhood. So I might drive to the next town and walk down their main streets and peek in people's windows. I'm not going to lie. That's what I do. And I see their holiday lights and their trees. And, you know, you catch a little glimpse of somebody walking across the room or something. I'm not like Harriet the Spy or anything, but it's very cozy. And it's nice to be out in the cold, in the dark, where you're not going to like trip over a stick and break your neck and then get gored by a deer. So, you know, like, we should meet one night and take a stroll on North Elm Street and look at all the pretty houses. You know, it's just nice. And we do all need it. And if you do it during the day, you're getting vitamin D too,
which is important. I do it in the mornings with my dog all throughout my neighborhood, which is a warren of streets.
Yeah.
And I'd love for someone to join me, but we do it so much that people know me who I've never seen before. So people are always waving at me and my dog in the morning.
No, they're waving. They're waving at Glory. Yeah. Number seven is send photos of your life. The martini you just made, your dog, the Christmas throw pillows you pulled out of the closet. You know, if you can't visit each other, then you can still make people feel like they're there with you. And I think that that's a really sweet thing. You know, my daughter and I love Christmas decor, and she'll send me a picture of, you know, the new decoration that she found, or you know, the throw pillow with the Christmas tree on it. And it's just so nice because you're in your home and you're thinking of your friend.
Yeah.
And you're sending them a little picture of your home and your holiday.
Yeah, that's lovely. Number eight is simulwatch. Is that a word you just made?
I made that word up. Simulwatch. Yes.
Simulwatch a show or a movie and chat during it. I kind of love this idea. Love actually is better when you watch it with someone. And if you and or your friend is single, holiday movies can be depressing. You can also say, screw these holiday movies and watch a good old fashioned horror movie as a rebellion.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's a great idea.
So, yeah, I mean, I love certain Christmas movies and hate others. Didn't we have a heated debate about the Family Stone?
We did. It was heated. It's true.
Yeah, it was heated. but I'd watch it with you just to argue during it, you know?
I only really want to watch the first 3 minutes of the movie. Then we don't have to watch it anymore.
They're so good. I mean, the acting is great in that movie. I'll say that. But yeah. There's a lot of moments where my hand twitches to slap people. but yeah, you know, we've all been watching Netflix a ton. We've all been watching movies and stuff. And it gets to be like you've got your computer open on your lap with the TV on and you're checking your phone, right?
That's it.
Take a little step back and say, tonight I'm going to have an hour and 39 minutes where I watch this show with Kristen and we chat or text during it. I used to do this when my son was in college, or no, when he was in high school and I would go on book tour. We'd always watch The Walking Dead together.
Oh.
So on Sunday night, I would watch that and we would text each other comments during the commercials. Oh. I was very serious about that show. It could only be during the commercials. Number 9, be sensitive to the fact that we're all in hell this holiday season.
We are.
During the pandemic, the politics being so ugly, feeling blue is a perfectly natural, normal reaction. So you can try to cheer up a pal, but you can also just listen and not pressure them to be merry and bright.
Not this year. I think also I saw a meme floating around Facebook where it was like, I do not want to hear the New Year's resolution where we're all supposed to lose weight. Just stop that noise immediately. Oh,
geez.
Yeah. No one is interested in that. So yeah, we're all not feeling any of the normal holiday cheer. And so there's no need to pressure anyone to feel normal. It's not normal.
Yeah. We're in an abnormal situation. And so, you know, we don't have to go caroling and wear jingle bells this year. We give you permission not to.
Or have matching pajamas. I see those commercials.
Who does that?
A lot of commercials, so I feel like people are doing that. Number 10 is take care of yourself. Don't forget we should all be our own best friends. Schedule some downtime, schedule some outdoor time, and don't give away more than you have in you. Agreed. 100%. Especially about the outside. I'm inside all day long sitting at a desk doing work, and it gets really hard to continue to Zoom. I have colleagues who want to happy hour Zoom and other things like that, and it's really hard to sit in front of another screen after I've been sitting in front of a screen for, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours. So getting outside for just a breath of fresh air always feels wonderful. So
And you know, the holidays they can be really draining because we put pressure on ourselves to make the foods and follow the traditions and include all the people. And in any given year, it might be too much for you. You don't have to do everything that you've always done or always wanted to do. You know, it sort of defeats the point of the holidays to run yourself ragged and end up wanting to like curl up in a ball and cry and sleep. You know, that's not the goal of Christmas time. It's supposed to be about love and acceptance and joy. And, you know, you can't feel those things if you have bled out all over the sidewalk.
Right. This year, of course, I give you permission to ignore all of those impulses. Chinese food restaurants are open on Christmas. So if you don't want to cook, don't cook.
Just call first.
And perhaps maybe not the frozen Chinese food. Maybe not that.
Not the frozen. Yeah.
But yeah, don't be so stressed out about making things feel normal during this time. It's not a normal time. And it's never going to be as normal as you had it last year.
Right.
So maybe just kind of throw that idea to the wind and do something different just this year.
And I have one more suggestion. Mm-hmm. And you'll love this one, Joss.
Okay.
Schedule a social media break.
I love it so much.
Yeah. I did that for the first time last year. I took for the first time in 17 years of writing books, I took a social media break. I was not on social media before I was an author. I didn't see the need to be on Facebook and all that stuff. And now I have basically four platforms where I'm active daily, and it's part of my job, and it's a wonderful part of my job and a way to relate to readers and stuff. But I am a human, and taking a social media break does a couple of things. It frees up a good part of the day, and you'll be amazed at how much it frees up, because you think, like, I'll just do a quick check. It's never quick. Mm-hmm. It's like going to Target to buy something that cost $8. You'll leave spending $300. So it'll free up your time, and it will also take away all that Instagram life envy that can be so uncomfortable and can inflame a lot of envy or fear of missing out or feeling like you're not doing the right things because you don't have that tree or those cookies or that challah bread, you know. Mm-hmm. So tune out and pay attention to yourself and your loved ones, and have a very merry holiday season.
Agree. I couldn't agree more. I think not being on Facebook or any other social media is so relaxing. You don't realize how exhausting it is to be constantly on working on social media. You'll probably sleep better. And it might take like 2 or 3 days for you to get out of the habit of reaching for your phone to look.
Right.
But try and push through that. And once you do, I cannot recommend it enough. You're not missing a single thing. I promise you. You really aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. And those messages and pictures, they'll be there when you come back. You know, if you really want to, you know, check up on someone and whatnot, you'll be able to do it. I announced my social media break. I'm actually going to take a moment. I'm going on social media break. Mm-hmm. But I put it on my pages and I say I'll be on a little hiatus for a few weeks. And I did it, you know, as I said, I did it last year, and it was so lovely to kind of have the focus narrow down to just me and my family. Mm-hmm. And my good friends. And it was very refreshing, as you said. And I was really happy to get back on and reconnect too. Okay. So there's that aspect of it too. So got anything else, Joss?
I do not. I spent a lot of time on the phone with friends talking about food. I'm tired of it's true. I'm tired of my food. Like you said, I am tired of my cooking. So I always want to know what they're cooking, right? And how they're making it. So we talk about literally food for hours, 2-3 hours.
Well, happy holidays to our listeners. Thank you so much. And don't forget, you can buy our book. It makes a great Christmas present.
Yeah.
Stocking stuffer. It's a quick read, and it's going to save someone a lot of pain and heartache if you give it. So crappyfriends.net.
That's right.
And just keep sending us your letters. We love chatting with you this
way. Oh, by the way, we fully expect to get crappy relatives letters following the holiday. So so send those along right away.
Yeah, and read the book and just cross out the word friend and put in relative. It will help you. It will help you through this difficult time. Take care. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Crappy Friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends forever.